I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee, and we're going to be taking up the emergency heating appropriation, and a little later we'll deal with the approval of the minutes. We don't have a quorum yet. We're getting closer, but all of us know what the roads were like this morning. Being that this is an informational hearing, we will not be taking any committee action other than the minutes if we do a little bit later have a quorum. So with that, I'd like to have Representative Radenovich come forward, and the Commissioner of Commerce, Mike Rothman. It's my understanding this is the second informational hearing. There was one before the Commerce Committee yesterday, and we'll have one here today. And it's my understanding that the leadership of both caucuses has reached an agreement on this bill, and so the goal is to take it up this afternoon on the House floor, and that's why we're having the informational hearing here in Ways and Means this morning. So Representative Radenovich, if you want to start off as the author of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Today, as you've gone over pretty well, we've got a bill before us. It's a very short bill. It appropriates $20 million for the LIHEAP program. The LIHEAP program is the low-income heating assistance program. As we're all aware, throughout Minnesota, Minnesotans have been put in a difficult position because of the spike in propane prices and the increase in other heating costs. So we've all received, I'm sure, from our constituents emails and letters and calls indicating just how difficult it's been to make their heat payments. For the average Minnesotan, propane bills have gone up 2 to 3 times the cost, and so that type of hardship has impacted more Minnesotans than we'd anticipated this year. In addition to a late harvest that required the use of more propane to dry crops, Minnesotans have also dealt with some pipeline maintenance issues. So the administration, and the commissioner will go over this in greater detail, but the administration for the last month has been responding to these emergencies by increasing the amount of trucks going to Texas to pick up propane, by working with the Texas Governor Rick Perry to waive restrictions about what types of trucks can be filled at their terminals, by working with the national administration to try and bring additional propane reserves here in Minnesota. In the meantime, or at this point now, it's the legislature's time to become involved. The LIHEAP program is a federal program, as I had mentioned. $115 million was appropriated to the state of Minnesota to assist low-income families with their energy needs this winter. Based on the troubles we've had this winter, as of March 1st, we can no longer predict how long this fund will last. So this bill, again, appropriates $20 million. If there are additional funds left over at the end of the year, as of June 30th, those will cancel back to the general fund. This funding is not intended to replace federal funding, but instead to supplement it. And we want to be clear about that. The funds shall be dispersed by the commissioner under the existing LIHEAP regulations, and I think Commissioner Rothman can go through that in greater detail. But we all understand the urgency before us, and I hope that you know, we can take this up on the House floor and pass it to show Minnesotans that we are with them and that we can respond to their troubles very quickly.
But I think we'll take questions after the commissioners had a chance then to comment. Commissioner Rothman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First off the top, let me thank you, Mr. Chair, and the committee members for meeting quickly and for the legislature to address this issue right from the get-go. It's been an all-hands-on-deck approach since we've entered into the emergency situation that we've had for propane and heating assistance in the state of Minnesota. I wanted to cover a few topics, including what's the cause of the supply issues, the price spike, as well as the impact and what we've done in the LIHEAP program, to administer and increase crisis benefits to individuals, and then to answer any questions. As committee members know, the governor took swift and immediate action to implement a declaration of peacetime emergency to address the propane situation. He also issued an extension of hour of service to allow truckers to travel further and more hours to be able to pick up propane. In addition, we reached out, the governor reached out to the White House and to the Department of Energy and folks to try to get more propane to Minnesota with the supplies. He also reached out to Governor Perry in Texas to ease their restriction to which only allows truckers from Texas to pick up at their terminals in Mount Bellevue, Texas. And Governor Perry allowed trucks from Minnesota and other states to go down and pick up propane. The supply problem was multifaceted. If people ask what caused it, I think what we're hearing from the propane industry and from the information that we're receiving from others around the country and trying to figure out what caused all this, it's a number of things. It starts with increased export of propane. There were increased exports nationwide going to other countries. There was a...
I just want to acknowledge the fact we now have a quorum. Just feel free to continue.
That's fine. And we experienced that the harvest, the late harvest and the drying last November. There was a slight interruption on the Cochin pipeline to fix that pipeline or do some maintenance on that for anticipated reversal of that pipeline that's coming up in the spring. That happened in December. And then also, as everybody knows, we've had what's been called the polar vortex that had come down into Minnesota in January and for the last few weeks. We continue to have sub-zero weather. It's now been 30 or 33 years now, the coldest winter that we've had in Minnesota. Because of that, Minnesota experienced severe supply disruption issues, getting it into the state of Minnesota and then distributed out to folks. With a lot of these emergency actions that were taken, the supply was brought into pipelines. It was brought into Minnesota in the last few weeks. The supply issue has eased and stabilized. Prices, meanwhile, have stayed very high. Typically, if you go back, I think the price in October was somewhere $1.60, $1.70 for a gallon of propane. It spiked in January at $6.67 in some parts. For Minnesotans who use propane for heat in their small businesses, these prices just devastated individuals. People were running out. They continue to call our hotline, having run out or close to run out, which is either 0 or 10% of the tank. And we've been triaging those issues on a daily basis. Prices have stabilized as a result of mostly the supply. We still have a current high of $3.89, which to fill a tank is still a lot of money for a lot of folks. In response to the emergency, specifically as to the LIHEAP program, here's what we did in order to address the crisis situation. The department, as you know, administers LIHEAP. The first action we took was to increase the crisis payment, which is typically a $500 payment people can apply for in addition to their regular payment, from $500 to $1,000, so that applicants can use that to pay for propane and heating oil. The next thing that the step we took was when we were getting all these emergency calls from people who were, we get them on a Friday or whatever over the weekend saying we're out of propane. We realized that what was happening was that they were waiting too long until to get their tanks filled, and we needed to get them propane at an earlier time. So we changed the eligibility requirement from 20, waiting until the tank reached a 20% level, to increase that to 30% so people could get propane sooner rather than later. That was also to ease the delivery and the delay time so that we could get the money out and to get people the propane as soon as possible. The next emergency step that we took was we found that many people, hundreds of folks who were unable to qualify or eligible for the low-income heating assistance were still calling our pipeline, or the hotline, excuse me, to get funding. And those people had nowhere to go. So the governor took the action to increase the low-income heating assistance eligibility requirement from 50% of the state median income to 60% of the state median income. It means an additional 120,000 households immediately became newly eligible for heating assistance, and this applies to all sources of heating. So that's electricity, natural gas, propane, and then we expect that based on data, historical information, that this will roughly equate to 30 to 40,000 more Minnesotans who will seek funds this year through the LIHEAP program. With these program changes and the demands on LIHEAP, Representative Verdinovich did indicate that there has been an increased demand. Currently, we have approximately 23,000 additional Minnesotans who have submitted applications, are in the process of having them. That's a number that we pick up. It increases. I have to say, Mr. Chair and committee members, that we're in a very volatile situation. Our numbers, based on last week, the week before, 3 weeks even before that, they go up and down, and it all depends on the weather. It depends on people's situation, and we feel right now that the urgency is imperative that we get these funds as soon as possible. The last thing I wanted to touch on was to give you a sense of the state hotline. We opened that on January 30th. It's the State Emergency Operations Center that's housed out of HSEM over at the Department of Public Safety. The Department of Commerce staffed those calls with both our consumer response team and our LIHEAP staff. We received 3,400 calls, and of those calls, the types of calls that we're getting, roughly 50%, it's a 50-50 split. Half the callers call about the fact that they seek financial assistance, and the others are also seeking or talking about the complaints and the high prices. We opened up a system of triaging all of these calls. There were... just kind of aggregating the numbers here, somewhere between 150 to 200 calls where people were simply out or we had to triage supply. And the way we do that is through our local service providers, as well through a voluntary and collaborative effort that we reached with Roger Leiter, the Propane Association Executive Director, where when we found out if somebody was out, we would make sure that somebody was out there filling the tank and doing what we could to make sure that nobody found themselves in a dire situation. What this means in human terms is that, for many, if not most, all of the people on low-income heating assistance, as those that know the program know, these funds go to help pay for the energy bills of folks that... would otherwise be needed to spend on medicine and food and all that, all the other, the shelter that folks need. These are individuals who are on disability, or are disabled, excuse me. There are also veterans, there's senior citizens and families, households with many children in them. And we have found that when we're getting these calls, many of the stories, as folks know, is that when they run out of propane, they've had to rely on other sources, they've had to buy home or heaters, which in the heaters are very dangerous, as many people know. There's even a story on the front page of today's paper about the dangers of using space heaters. So with all of that, we've done everything we can to increase supply. We've done everything we can to closely monitor the price I've looked into the price. I've got my staff looking at the price issues and the spike that occurred, and then as well doing everything we can possibly, humanly possible, to help people get the propane that they need in the crisis. With that, Mr. Chair, I'd open it up if people, I'm sure there'd be some questions, and happy to answer those.
Okay, and what I'd like to, before we take questions, very quickly ask Mr. Marks, because he has a couple of people here that are observing. We have two new fiscal staff people that Mr. Marks wanted to introduce.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, we have two new fiscal staff who maybe you two could stand up, Ken Savory and Harriet Heinrichs. Ken is actually working on this issue. He's staffing the Commerce and the Higher Education Finance Committees. Harriet has jobs in economic development and housing, so they came on board a couple weeks ago.
Well, welcome, and I think I can speak for the committee and say we all look forward to working with you. And with that, I think Representative Holberg indicated.
Just to that point, the gentleman working Davis with Commerce is a graduate of the University of Maine, home of the mighty Black Bears.
And do you have a cap?
Not yet.
We are really subtle around here. I just want to
For people that may not know what that means, when the Capital Investment Committee at least has been on tour, each community that, especially if we're down in Representative David's district, he puts on a cap that reflects that that community's nickname, so or sports team's nickname. With that, Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Radunovich, can you tell me the authority that the governor used to change the eligibility percentage and double the dollar amount? Is that authority given to him under the Emergency Powers Act? Is it part of the program itself?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Holberg. My understanding is that under the LIHEAP program, the federal guidelines establish that 60% is the maximum, 60% of the family median income is the maximum allowable percentage, so you could go anywhere up to that. Traditionally, Minnesota is set at 50%, so we can best target the assistance, but of course, in this situation, we've gone up. So the changes that were made were consistent with the federal guidelines.
Well, but, Mr. Chair, you didn't exactly answer my question. I'm trying to figure out if, you know, usually we direct these programs with legislative standards. We had 50%. The governor, it says in the background information, used his executive power. And I'm just wondering if that's given to him under the LIHEAP program or the declaring an emergency statute.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, that's given to him under the LIHEAP program.
Okay, and if I might, is that a temporary increase to address this, or has this change been now made permanent?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, that's a temporary change to address the current situation across Minnesota.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions of the author or the commissioner? Representative
Houseman. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has nothing to do with this particular issue, but because we're on the subject of a cold winter and the problems of people dealing with it, I thought at least we should acknowledge the deaths of five children in Minneapolis, and this morning's paper talked about the fact that that was caused by a space heater that ran for days. And what that suggests to me is there was not other sufficient heating in that house. And so, I mean, I think a state like ours, really, we should always be thinking about what are the issues that that we, you know, the broad issues that we ought to be concerned about in terms of health and life and safety in cold winters when whether housing or fuel or whatever is the crisis. But it has nothing to do with this, except the headline in the newspaper points to
that's an important point. And the commissioner did happen to comment that people begin using alternative forms of heat, And he did reference the article in this morning's paper that was an example of the risk when you use alternative forms of heat. Commissioner, did you want to comment further?
Just one. I do want to say that when we got the hotline calls, these are people calling in fear and desperation, largely because of these situations. And every call we answered and tried to help people with either getting assistance and make sure they got supplies and not delays, those were the concerns that we had. And I do want to point out a couple of instances that happened. One was in North Dakota. You may have heard the story where somebody did run out and they did freeze. And I tell you another story within a couple of days. There was a senior woman and her adult child who checked into the Duluth Hospital because they ran out of fuel, and called our hotline, and within hours we got them the assistance they needed to get the fuel back on once they were out of the hospital. Those are just some of the stories and how close we are and have been during this crisis.
You know, you've mentioned several times the hotline, and with the change in criteria as to who qualifies, how do people become informed of the hotline and how to access the program?
Mr. Chair, as soon as the hotline went into effect, the governor put out a press release. I did as well. We sent it out to all of the service providers, the CAP agencies. So that everybody knew, you know, where to call. So it went to all the papers, all the radio stations. I was on the radio many times, and the more we can get the number out, the more we can help people. So,
okay. And let's see, Representative Nornes is next.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know this. I think this caught people by surprise because it was so reasonable last fall. I personally have propane, and I think I paid $1.49, I think, a gallon. And all of a sudden, you know, it balloons up to six at one time in some places. I guess the question I've got is, does the department have any projections as to whether these same situations could occur, or will it be, you can't predict the weather, but is the supply issue going to be settled so next winter we don't have this situation? No way to know.
Commissioner Rothman.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we're in a touch-and-go situation now. And we will be in a touch-and-go situation through the rest of this winter. The long-term issues for Minnesota supply of propane include the situation where the Cochin pipeline, the one that comes down from Canada, and delivers about 40% of the state's propane supply, it has for years, is planned to be reversed and used for a different use rather than propane. So Minnesota stands to lose by in April is the time frame, 40% of its propane pipeline supply. The governor called a meeting in December. The governor had one January 20, something like that, with all the stakeholders. And the conversations continue as to how to solve that problem. Our view is that we're asking industry and folks to look at this. It's all hands on deck now. It's going to be all hands on deck as we go forward to be able to supplement that supply in some fashion or another. If it's not the pipeline, it's got to be through railroad. It's got to be through trucks. It's got to be through alternative means of coming up from the pipeline from the south. It's going to be an issue that we need to deal with, and so I would just say we all need to be working on it.
Why wouldn't
you? Yeah, but what? Okay, and Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Rothman, my question centers around your hotline and how they're reacting, especially when people talk about using temporary heat. As you know, we are nation-leading in our requirement of fire and CO detectors. How experienced are your operators in communicating with those folks about what current law is and about their availability if they don't know if they have working alarms, especially if they're in rental units? working with their landlord, and or are they aware of the programs that local fire departments have so that we can minimize bad outcomes?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, we the state hotline is operationally centered over at the state's State Emergency Operations Center, which is the anytime a peacetime emergency happens. It has access to all local law enforcement. It has access to all the emergency shelters, all of the situations that could come up like that. And the information is available. The staff that we have over there quickly trained up on everything from LIHEAP to how to get propane, emergency situations, talking to people about the issues with using space heaters and alternative sources. So we do have that information available to folks so that we can help with that and to avoid those situations. We've been, I guess the main focus has been saying, we're trying not to encourage the alternative uses if we can get them propane or if we can get them natural gas so that they stay safe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Rothman, I'm specifically interested when people say they're using temporary heat, the operators, how experienced are they in asking them specifically, do they have CO detectors? Are they do they know if they're operational, and do they have the ability to find that out?
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, I'll check. A call like that hasn't come to my attention, but as I was indicating, that information is available to the center to be able to provide it if a question comes up like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Rothman, thank you. You mentioned specifically, and I appreciate that, telling them the dangers of the temporary situation, and I would like, if you would, get back to the chair on just that those folks are skilled in that ability to let those folks know, because unfortunately we find out all too often that folks may have detectors, but they're not operational. So thank you.
Okay, Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Rothman. You know, in 2013, you served about 147,000 households at a cost of $109 million. Now, $99 million of that was from the federal government. How do you, is it that the commissioner request funding from the federal government, or is this just here's your money, take it, leave it, or how does that work?
Mr. Chair and Representative, the federal government, in essence, once a year gives an initial allocation of funding, which is an estimate of particular needs. It varies from year to year. Sometimes it's one allocation, sometimes it's two, sometimes it's more. And it depends on the federal government's ability to provide those funds and the issues. So this year we received a second allocation of $15 million on top of the original 99, and that it's really whether or not the federal government has the funds to provide it any more or additional funds for the program.
And Mr. Chair and Commissioner. So are we saying that this $20 million is enough to meet the crisis that we're in right now?
Mr. Chair and Representative, based on our estimation, this is a conservative estimate. Again, it's volatile. It's based on the historical information that we've had without adding the crisis changes that we did to the program. And then we've made an estimate of the additional 30,000 to 40,000 people because of the expansion to the 60% of SMI. And so based on those calculations, this is a conservative estimate to fill the gap between running out of money and through May 31st of this year.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, you mentioned the price going in January from 160 to some other number. I didn't hear them today. It's at 385. And I think you said that even with increased volume, there was no drop in the price for a time. So we're talking about a totally unregulated industry here. That's a question, are we?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the propane industry is unregulated. Unlike natural gas and electricity, where it is regulated, and we do have rate regulation, propane is not. If there's regulations, it's safety regulation. And some states have price restraints in place, regulations. And Minnesota has some authority under LIHEAP to make sure there's no discrimination and other things. So that's why I've been closely monitoring those kinds of issues. And at the same time, any deceptiveness. And to that extent, we've been trying our best to keep a close eye on the spiking. And I did send a letter to the industry asking them to be very wary and to that we would be keeping a close eye on the propane prices.
Jim, what was the high rate that it reached? I didn't hear that. I just know that we're now at 385, I think you said.
Yeah. At one point, about 4 weeks ago, the highest we had reported was $6.67.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clark.
So we keep an eye on the spiking, but there's really nothing we can, there's no regulations in place to limit. If we get more and more dollars that we provide both from the state and the federal government, there's really no limit on what the amount can be, apparently. Is that right? The price?
Mr. Chair, Representative, there is no limit on the pricing. It's a market-driven commodity, and to the extent, you know, we have some some authority through the LIHEAP program and through our other standing laws that are just typical for consumer protections, there is no price regulation.
So, Mr. Chairman, just finally, thank you for that, and I appreciate your keeping us informed. I would be interested in what other states might have done to have some sort of restraint. I don't know, and that's not in this bill. I totally support this bill. I think it's so needed. This is such an important issue right now, both economically and humanitarianly and everything, but I just would be interested to know how we might look at it in the future, some sort of way to, you know, regulate these prices or keep them reasonable if we, you know, get into crises again. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Enzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Does the LIHEAP program or the state supplemental program allow propane suppliers to ration deliveries in an attempt to serve everybody in the service delivery territory as opposed to those who call first and are therefore provided with enough fuel for the next so many days?
Commissioner Rothman.
Mr. Chair and Representative Ansel, there's no formal allocation system built into the LIHEAP program per se. But what happens is that there's a triage because the demand is so high. It's pretty much everybody for themselves. When they call to the providers in your area, what'll happen is there'll be a story of someone getting a delay, some folks getting it delivered based on cash only. There'll be contracts in place, as you know, and there's, you know, it's balancing it out. So what happens is that through the providers, and we added the hotline this year, we triaged supply. We triaged the assistance so that we could get people the minimum fills without delay, you know, over cold weekends. If you remember the really sub-zero weather, so that they'd at least get a fill on a Saturday or Friday to be able to make it the weekend. Similar things are happening as we speak.
Follow up,
Representative Enzel.
Well, thank you for that response. The reason, or a reason, why what we have before us here in Representative Radinovich's legislation is so critical is propane suppliers in rural northern Minnesota are literally going 24/7 to provide all of the residences in their service delivery territory, their customers, with enough. And literally, it's enough to last a week when it's 25 below zero. So I was just wondering about the rationing. Not that I, you know, I think rationing is necessary so that everybody has enough to get through the next period. But anyway, thank you for your response.
Okay, any other questions? Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if I missed this in the earlier presentation. Are small businesses eligible to the small businesses that require propane? Is this a strictly residential at this point?
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, it's residential. The small businesses don't, not through the low-income heating assistance program. Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, because small businesses have been hit, and actually many that have been that are completely dependent on propane, I can think of some that have called in seeking assistance. The administration looked for ways in which we could try to help small businesses, but there's very limited resources available for the use of it in the propane situation. So, for example, we explored the SBA program to see if there might be ways to in which the eligibility of those funds might be done. But we can follow up with you to you know, if there's details and all that. But we did try to look for assistance for small businesses as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioner. Another area that the businesses in my community were impacted by this who were on natural gas. And when the natural gas was interrupted, then they were switched over to backup, which in this case was LP gas. And so that was very costly also, and also took, again, a chunk of the LP supply away. So there's so many factors here that, going back to the earlier question that I had, I'm assuming by your answer, we're not looking for a large improvement next year as far as the price of LP gas is concerned?
Mr. Chair, Representative Norris, that's correct. In fact, I can't describe it as a large improvement. I'm expecting the situation to be exacerbated by the Cochin pipeline stopping propane delivery in Minnesota in the April-May timeframe.
Representative Norris, any other questions? Okay, well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the hearing, this is informational. The leadership of the House and Senate, all four caucuses, have reached an agreement on the bill. So it will be taken up on the House floor, and our purpose this morning was to become better informed about the issue. So I want to thank you, Commissioner Rothman, and then we'll be hearing from Representative Radonovich on the House floor when the bill is presented. So thank you both. We do have the minutes from the December 6th meeting. Representative Ansel, have you had a chance to take a look at them?
Yes, I have, and I moved.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. We will next meet, or by the way of announcement, and this has gone out earlier, Ms. Conley, you've noticed, but just as a reminder, the forecast will come out on February the 28th, and we will be having a hearing on March 3rd dealing with the forecast, which is our regular committee time that Monday morning. So with that, there's no further business before the committee, and we're now adjourned.